From the WTXE newsroom, this is the WTXE Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant. Amelia Teasdale is reporting for the Columbia paper. Ichabod Crane Interim Superintendent Lee Bordick held a community forum October 30th to discuss how the existing school buildings will be managed during the district's capital project starting in 2020. Bordick said during construction, the guidance office staff will move to the high school main office, while the high school administration will move to the central office. Work on the art wing will begin first in June of 2020. After the art wing is completed, the math wing will be next in December 2020. From April to August 2021, work will start on the science wing. A major upgrade to the technology wing is scheduled for 2021-22. The area where most students will need to move around during construction is at the middle school, where work will start on the 4th and 5th grade wings in the summer of 2020. Bordick said about 12 classrooms must be identified for use by those students during the construction. The 7th and 8th grade wing is next, and finally the 6th and 7th grade wing. He said the plan was to have all three wings or pods completed in the 2020-21 school year. Upgrades to the middle school gym will start in September 2021 and will be completed by August 2022. The $27 million capital improvement project was approved by district voters last December. And you can read the full story in the Columbia paper. Christina Coulter is reporting for HudsonValley1.com. The fate of three construction and demolition waste dumping sites in Saugerties is now in the hands of State Supreme Court Judge Richard Mott. Following more than 20 hours and 10 days of witness testimony, Mott will now consider whether the town of Saugerties appropriately issued stop work orders against dumping on the properties owned by Joseph and Rachel Carrolls, located on Route 212, Felquay Road, and Goat Hill Road. A temporary restraining order is currently in effect, stopping enforcement of the stop work orders until the matter can be properly adjudicated. The Carrolls are arguing the town improperly signaled them out for enforcement while turning a blind eye to other illegal dump sites in town. The parties now await Mott's decision. Town Supervisor Fred Costello Jr. said after the final hearing, and I quote, "I feel optimistic. I think Town Attorney John Greco summarized all of our arguments nicely, and reflecting back, I feel like we presented a strong argument as to why this restraining order needs to be lifted and to memorialize all the concerns we've been expressing," end quote. In other legal business, Carrolls will appear in Woodstock Town Court later this month to answer charges of illegal dumping outside of the 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. window outlined in the temporary restraining order. William J. Kimball is reporting for the Daily Freeman. The members of the group Dump Here Never have scheduled a sunrise protest November 12th at the dump site on Route 212 to greet arriving trucks. The protesters expect to witness the terms of the order being violated. Mike Pereira, who lives across the road from the site, said, and I quote, "The reason we're doing it so early is because the trucks usually come in before the allowed time, and we wanted to be there," end quote. There is no timetable for Mott to render his decision. Columbia Green Media is reporting Columbia Memorial Hospital recently unveiled its state-of-the-art 3D breast biopsy technology that will aid in the diagnosis, treatment, and outcomes for breast cancer patients in Columbia and Greene counties. The stereotactic 3D biopsy system, known as AFFIRM, provides more precise targeting of tissue abnormalities, allowing the detection of breast cancer to happen earlier and more accurately. The technology was acquired as a result of community contributions to the Columbia Memorial Health Foundation. CMH President and CEO J.P. Callahan said, and I quote, "This life-saving 3D biopsy technology, paired with our 3D mammography service, provides our patients with the most advanced diagnostic care available in locations that are comfortable, convenient, and close to home," end quote. And you can read the full press release at HudsonValley360.com. Michael Gartland is reporting for the New York Daily News. According to a 2014 U.S. Department of Labor report, New York workers are cheated out of anywhere from $500 million to $1 billion in wages every year. Another study conducted in 2015 found that even when workers prevail in wage theft cases, more than $126 million due to them has not been paid out. In 2019 alone, people filed about 5,800 lawsuits in New York federal courts involving the Fair Labor Standards Act, which covers minimum and overtime wage claims, as well as workplace retaliation. But even when workers win those cases, they often struggle to track down money they are owed by their employers. To respond to this problem, advocates are pushing the SWEAT Act. If signed into law, the measure would allow workers the ability to walk into their county clerk's office and file a lien against their employers if they are not paid what they are owed. Similar policies are already in effect in California and Wisconsin. The SWEAT Act is currently awaiting Governor Andrew M. Cuomo's review. And you can read the full story in the Daily News. And that wraps up the WGXE Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, visit our website, WGXE.org. From the WGXE Newsroom, I'm Philip Graham. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.